there, everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording show number 225. This is the 26th day of February 2008. And, of course, we're at the Little Ranch House Studio in Lufkin, Texas. For an hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Our co-hosts for the show are none other than Don Patterson and Donald Shaw. Hi, guys.
Hi there, Thomas.
Oh, there you are.
Yes. Good to hear you. And I want to talk about...
What's going on here? I hear some funny-sounding stuff here.
You do?
So yeah, there you are. Are you in the studio?
Right here in the studio. What's happening, Mr. Tom?
Oh, not a whole lot. I just heard some little feedback or something. Anyway, moving right along here, the star of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, the creator and producer, Phil Parr.
Well, I wouldn't say the star of the Blind Handyman Show.
Well.
They wouldn't like that, would they? No. Anyway. So,
I was just listening to a John Anderson tape last night. Well, actually, it was a CD.
Yeah. And of what song?
Can you catch a falling star?
Would you catch a falling star?
Only kidding. Jeez.
Before it crashes to the ground. No, you weren't, and I know it. But that's all right. I don't mind a bit. Anyway, welcome to the Blind Andy Band. It's Phil Parton, Don Patterson. Tom Houston is not in studio. You're in beautiful Burke, Texas.
Oh, of course.
We wish you were here in spirit, I suppose, right?
Well, of course.
You could say. All right. Well, what, have you repaired any computers this week or done anything exciting that we need to know
about?
Well,
you know, it did that one other time, and I did repair it. I had the information I needed and just reinstalled it.
So it came back up in safe mode another time.
Yes, it did. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Probably my granddaughter.
Then perhaps you have not fixed it. You've only...
Temporarily.
Well, now that's the only time that's happened. And it was after my granddaughter had been on the computer. So.
Well, yeah, that you may know, tell a story.
We had a similar problem. I put a nice running computer, didn't have a lot on it, up in the kids' room. Yeah. And... just got to where it would not work at all. You could just kind of boot it up. And I went and found in the history and found where they had tried to go to certain sites that they would not have been allowed to go. And they had every kind of crap and games they had tried to download. And you had stuff from these different games. And so I had to restore the computer. I mean, just, and so I just, they no longer have a computer.
My wife went upstairs Sunday and got to what she calls the blue screen of death. computer. The blue screen of death. So it's gone to the computer doctor. But her Mac laptop ought to be here pretty soon. You know, next week's her old birthday.
Speaking of the Mac, I think Main Menu is doing a thing this week on the new, I think it's the Macintosh that she's getting on the laptop. It's going to do a thing about the accessibility of it for blind folks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I should go listen to that.
She has always been a Mac user in spirit, if not, when she even didn't have one. She loved them, didn't she?
She thinks they're superior.
We were the old, I was an old GeoWorks user as she was, and they pioneered, I mean, they were light years ahead of Windows, and Mac is more close to that.
I think that's probably part of it. Yeah. She,
Luann liked the GeoWorks, I believe.
Yeah, she was a GeoWorks user also.
Yeah.
And but that GeoWorks is gone. Their stock is worth about a nickel a share. It was worth $60 a share. I'm gonna pay off the house if GeoWorks goes to $60. Remember? Those are the Bill Clinton days that everybody, you know, talks about. By this time next Tuesday, Barack Obama will have trounced Hillary out of the business, won't he?
Boy, I'll tell you what, it looks that way.
It's sure getting ugly, though.
We've still got an Ohio debate that's going to happen, right?
Tonight.
Yeah, tonight, I think. I'm going to miss it. I'm not going to bother watching.
They're calling each other ugly names now. It's gone. I mean, man, her nice face lasted about 20 hours.
Yeah, they just...
Shame on you, Barack Obama.
It's just down to the point now, as far as I'm concerned, of silliness.
Yeah, but didn't you hear this real right-wing nut spoke before John McCain here today, and he called him by, you know, Barack Hussein Obama. So McCain, no, McCain was not in there, and he didn't know this guy was going to speak, and McCain came out and said, that's not satisfactory. That is not the way I campaign. And if I'm responsible for that because this was a McCain rally, anyway, he apologized. But I mean, yeah, this guy, you know, they're trying to play up his Muslim ancestors. The fear, the fear factor.
You know, she showed a photo of him dressed in some, he'd gone to Africa. He had gone in Africa and he'd dressed in some authentic African, which is okay with me. I don't have any problem with that.
Well, I think all of them do that when they go to foreign countries. Mm. They'll put on their dress, you know.
But she's just shooting herself in the foot.
Yeah, Hillary did that when she lived in Arkansas. She used to dress.
Put on the Arkansas dress, overalls.
Little Abner.
Overalls and things that probably get letters from people in Arkansas.
Probably
right, so. Speaking of letters, you have any list mail, Mr. Vic?
I do. Yes, sir, I do. And here's one that says, how can I use plywood for a face frame? Besides the edges not looking nice, which can be fixed, is there a reason not to use it? I have 2 sheets of 3/4-inch oak plywood, which is way more than I needed for a project. Yep. Thought I could save some cash. I'm building a wall cabinet for my bathroom to hold towels and such, so it will be exposed to lots of moisture.
Yep.
Thanks, Michael.
I don't know what a face frame is. What do you...
He's, I guess, talking about the cabinet face that he cut. You'd build a box and you put trim around it, little maybe inch wide trim around it to close the door against.
Yeah, you could always put a style on the front, I guess. But yeah, oak plywood. Wow,
style. That's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Cabinet style. You're right.
Okay, I guess a face means he's going to build it on the wall. He's not going to have a. He's not going to build a box and hang it. And so, yeah, the oak would be great. But you could, if you had mitered your edges,
they'd look fine.
They would butt up against each other, and it would look really. I mean, that's kind of really using that oak is kind of overkill. Most people use. I mean, if you've got it, flaunt it.
Yeah, that's what said he had it.
You're gonna have to have a good blade to cut it.
Yeah, man.
And it's gonna be heavy when you put it up. It's gonna be. You know, you might. Anyway, if you got it, why not use it for that? That's what I would think.
I believe I would, too, if I had it.
Any answers on the list?
There were some. I did not print them. I wanted to get our take on it.
All right. Well, you've gotten it.
And we just got it, so let's move right along here. What are pocket screws?
I knew you'd want our take on it.
What are pocket screws, and how do they differ from other screws, David?
Thanks, David, for that question. What's the next question?
Okay, I did print a response.
I have no idea. Just,
okay.
When he
says pocket screws, this fella interpreted that as being cabinet screws. It says pocket or cabinet screws have a built-in washer. They're designed to work in the pocket hole. When putting face rails together, the washer prevents the screw from being pulled too far into the wood.
All right.
He says, I have some that I really like. They have a combination Phillips and square drive head. And that was David Wood that answered that.
All right. Who was it asked the question? David Farron?
I don't know. It just said David.
I wonder if they're talking about screws, too, that also go into a naturally recessed, like in furniture,
I don't know.
Not countersunk, and you don't want them to go all the way through the wood, but you want the head to be below the surface, you know. Like under, if you look at tables and stuff underneath, sometimes you'll see where screws are in recess like that.
Oh, yeah, they're usually that way.
But other than that, I have no idea except.
Pocket screws. I don't know. I've never heard of pocket screws before.
I've never heard that term.
I will Google that.
And cabinet screws. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you got an answer from them because none of us have any
answers. Well, we're batting our usual thousand.
Yeah, we are in danger of giving, not in danger
well,
of giving anyone
we're
a useful.
We're going to get lucky on this one, I think.
It
says, question about fittings. Now, he said, I've heard of something called integral solder fittings. In other words, the solder's built into the fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you get them?
What makes you think we know? Why would you even consider?
Why do you do? Heat the fitting?
Let's see.
Sounds like a great idea.
Let's go back to the pocket screws.
Yeah, back to that one.
Yeah, sounds like a great idea.
The main reason I printed that, I think, or at least saved it over here in the word pad, is the fact that the two responses that I printed to follow up on it came from two different countries. One of them from Canada.
Well, all right.
And, of course, you know who that is, Dale Evan.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Is that I have seen these in England, but I haven't ever seen them here in Canada. That doesn't mean they aren't available, of course, but not any place I have bought fittings, Dale. And then the other response says, Dale and all, here in the UK, they're called Yorkshire fittings. Oh. A short distance away from the open end of the fitting is a ring which is convexed outward, leaving a concavity on the inner side. Now, this is filled with flux, F-L-U-X-E-D, solder.
Uh-huh. Okay.
David.
And so you heat the fitting after you put it on?
Undoubtedly, you would have to for the solder to do any good. But
I don't know
how they work. I'm not familiar with it at all.
Man, that's amazing. I'm surprised somebody on the list didn't answer that.
I think we're going to have to start screening Tom's emails.
You'll have to call you early and you can read it to us, see if there's anything we can. Because I don't know anything about those. I guess plumbing fittings is what they're talking about. So you'd put them on there and then you'd heat them and the solder would. Boy, you'd never get that sucker off, would you?
Oh, man.
It'd be there to stay, wouldn't it?
It'd be on there to stay, wouldn't it?
It would be right in the right place. I guarantee you that.
If we ever get one right, Tom, ask it again next week. You know, just keep...
Yeah, recycling it.
Well, we're ready. Undaunted by misinformation, we plow ahead.
Here's one that I know we're going to get, okay?
Okay.
Talking thermostats. Hey, my lady and I would like to get a thermostat we can use. Neither of us has any sight at all. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want something that is primarily voice-activated, though. Would like one we can program ourselves, know the temp, its settings, et cetera, et cetera. Would like to hear experiences of others, what's out there, what's good, what's not. She has done some reading on the Kelvin talking thermostat, but they're more available than just one, thanks to any input. This is from Steve and Rhonda.
What does the guy, the talking thermostats guy, sell?
That is talking thermostat, www.talkingthermostat.com, and that is the guest we had named,
I'll never think of his name. But a real nice guy, and he's very knowledgeable, and he'll be more than happy to help you.
But, well, there was someone else named Al that responded that wanted people to go to www.maxiaid.com and M-A-X-I-A-I-D.com. And I noticed that Don Shaw responded to that on the list, which what he just said.
Yeah, with
but
the talking thermostat.
Actually, though, if you wanted to get some instant gratification, as it turns out, like our... We live in a 30,000 population town, and our Honeywell guy here, they have them. I mean, and at the same price, basically. And you can either get the voice activated, or that where you can do voice commands, or the one that just talks to you. And Honeywell, I think that's what the guy on TalkingThermostat.com.
Yeah, because I think that's where he worked for many years.
So, anyway, but if it was a matter of you don't have to have it right now, I would just as soon you buy from him because he kind of pioneered some of this stuff. I mean, seems to be interested in
the talking thermostat guy.
And we think he may make a talking keyboard at some point.
What would make you think that?
Well, because we talked to him about it one time.
And that would influence him to make one?
Well, he said he would look into it.
All right. Let me know when he does.
We need to stretch this next.
Be right after Al Gore gets in the presidential race here, Don.
Yeah.
Al Gore.
Don keeps telling me Al Gore is going to enter the race as a as a an alternative candidate, as a spoiler. I don't think so. Anyway.
Actually, he disguised. He is in the race already. He's disguised as Ralph
Obama.
Nader.
No. Oh, Jesus, Ralph.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe get his brother to vote for him. What do you think? Huh? All right, go ahead, Tommy. We do have to stretch this. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got one more. He said, excuse me, folks. I seem to have lost the message from whoever it was who told me how they dealt with leaks in their ductwork up in the attic. They said they went up in the attic and just covered every leak they found with something, but I forgot what the something was. Does anybody know what that something was? Matt?
Duct tape. No.
Sounds reasonable to me, but I don't know.
Actually, they make an air conditioning tape for duct, and it's similar to duct tape. It's thicker, I think, and that's you could check with Lowe's or something like that.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, it's a specific tape for that. However, you know, now that might be for the metal ducts. I don't know if they're talking about this flex, but obviously, if you're finding leaks out in other places than a joint where it's connected,
what's causing
you may you have some varmint. Yeah. Up there that's causing that.
The raccoon biting through the pipe.
Absolutely.
Or something.
Probably,
ductwork.
They make most ducts now out of duckboard, right? I mean, that's the most common.
Well, no, a lot of it's flex. In my house, yeah. It's all this styrofoam with wire, the wire
flex
spring.
Duct?
Yeah, I mean,
yes. Right?
Yeah, guy went cheap as he could.
Boy, he did.
There's some guy on television that advertises in an infomercial that has something that looks like silly putty, and it shows him putting that over a hole in some ductwork.
That's probably the best stuff to use, actually.
It may be, $19.95.
Yeah.
And if you order today, they'll send you double what you ordered.
Double helping.
He's up to triple the order now.
Probably.
Three big things of silly putty, and you could make could build things with them if you didn't.
You could.
All right, Houston, we're expecting another Skype call here in a minute, so we're going to have to sign off, and I guess we'll see you next week. And,
yes, sir.
Is the wind blowing down at Burke pretty much?
The what now?
Is the wind blowing at Burke like it is up here?
Oh, let me tell you, the last couple of days it's been strong, and it's kind of cool out today, so I haven't been out too much.
Yeah.
I went to the mailbox earlier.
Yeah.
But,
I just
yesterday
call
and day before yesterday, I mean, the wind was just, I mean, it was really blowing.
That's the new guy calling, isn't it? Listen, can you hear that?
Yep.
Hey,
all right. Houston, I'll talk to you before next week, sir.
Okay, y'all.
Thanks
take
much.
Care.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's see if we can do this. I escape him. Do we have the new guy? Hello? Let's see. Much, alt page up. Did that do it? Hello?
Now, do it again. Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing, isn't it? Victor?
Yes, sir.
I'm saying Victor. Are you there?
All right.
Isn't that amazing?
Victor's here.
Victor's there. Well, we're on the air. We just answered you on the air. So that's okay, isn't it? Huh?
Well, it's this whole technology thing, you know, we're all amazed by it.
It is. I'm amazed by
it. It's incredible, isn't it?
Is your brother there
with
you?
Yes, he is. He's online.
And so
I'm here as well.
Both of you have conference. You're conferenced together. There's no sense in taking a break, Shaw, is there?
Yeah, we might as well just continue on.
Well, Blind Handyman. Don Shaw and Don Patterson are here, and I'm Phil Parr, and we're stumbling through an afternoon or whatever time you're listening on the Blind Handyman. And Victor Gouveia is our guest. Victor, sir, welcome to the Blind Handyman Show.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here.
Introduce your brother to us.
My brother's name is Peter, and he runs Virtually Independent Products and Technologies, which is which we refer to as VIP Tech for short.
VIP Tech.
And it's his baby. He's been running it for about 12 years now. Am I right, Peter?
That's about right, yeah.
Well, Peter, it's good to meet you, sir, and nice to have you with us. What does your company do?
Well, we actually we sell and service as well as repair and upgrade any computers as mainstream, as well as computer and technology for the blind and handicapped.
Oh, so you do mainstream computers and computers for visually impaired persons?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, actually, we do all the major disabilities. At this point, we're just focusing on the visual aspect of it.
Well, yeah, because you are visually impaired, and Peter, you're not. Your sight is good.
That is correct.
You drive the car and
drive the company
depends on
van.
The day of the week. Actually.
You run Victor to the liquor store when he needs to go.
So Victor and Peter, is Don Patterson here. Welcome to the show. Wonder where
you. Oh, Don, it's a pleasure to finally talk to you. My first time on this show, I was dying to talk to you, but you weren't there.
Oh yeah. So I'm wondering where you guys are located.
We're in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Okay, great.
We're in a suburb of Toronto called Scarborough.
Okay.
And we are, for all intents and purposes, technically in Toronto. However, this wasn't always so. About 7 or 8 years ago, they amalgamated the city. So now we're all one big happy suburb.
There is a train that runs from Chicago to Toronto every day. I'm going to ride it someday and...
That's Amtrak, isn't it?
And then we're going to rent a car and go see Dale Levins.
He's a lot further than us. He's a lot further up north.
Yeah, that's what we've heard. They amalgamated the city. Boy, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, hell of a thing, isn't it?
I think my first wife may have amalgamated me. But
it's the cost of. Progress, I guess.
I guess it is. So you guys.
I mean, this area that we lived in wasn't always so developed. I mean, now you can just walk up the street and get to a store. Before,
well, she wasn't always
manufacturing and factories up here.
She wasn't always that developed either. But well, that's another story. But listen, so you folks sell computers to blind people, correct?
Yes.
And you teach them. How
anyone
who will
buy from us,
And you teach them how to use them As an aside, you teach them how to use these computers?
I do. For visually impaired, yeah. And my brother teaches mainly mainstream. And if someone actually has some usable site, like who uses Zoom Text or some other screen magnification tool, he teaches them that part of the software.
So I was wondering, guys, I mean, that's kind of a gutsy business to be in, and I'm amazed you've done it for 12 years. How are y'all able, I mean, to compete with, like, Best Buy? I mean, somebody goes and buys one off the shelf. What is your, why would someone come to y'all to buy the computer?
Well, first, the assistive technology part of the business has only been in there for the last year, 2 years. My brother's been in the computer business for about 12 years now. First, he started working at a, well, I'll let you tell this part, Peter.
That's a good idea.
Yay, Peter.
Good thinking.
Right.
Novel idea here.
Yeah, good thinking.
Can he talk, Victor?
Well, you know, he sure as I can't write.
Right. No, what happened is I started when I was a little kid. A friend of ours was used to give me like 286s and 486s, and I used to take them apart and fry them. I started working with them. I played a little bit with the PET Commodores and the Tandy systems. And then when I started moving up and getting really into the computers, I started working for a computer store. And that was where I started to learn most of what I knew. And then I left that, started my own business. Uh-huh. And then when Victor went blind, he came to me and said, "Hey Peter, why don't we look into getting into this and spreading our branches out to this part of the market?" All right. So I dove in and said, "Hey, fantastic, let's rock and roll."
And I understand that there are some rather humorous stories about Peter, about you teaching Victor to use the computer. I'd read that in the bio that you sent.
I was wondering when you'd bring that up.
You don't have to wonder anymore. That's the problem with song.
Victor was is an interesting fellow. When he was sighted, I tried to teach him how to put a computer together, and he did pretty good. But I gotta say, now that he cannot see a thing, he did fantastic. He was able to put all those, put everything all together all by himself. I explained to him how and what holes everything goes into, and to how to position everything. He
in
was
in layman's terms, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was able to position everything properly just using his fingers, and because he's very tactilely enhanced, he can feel things that I cannot feel. I don't know how he's able to even read Braille, let alone, but because of that, he's able to put together the computer. Now, the only downside for a visually impaired person to put together a computer are the cablings. That is where you would need visual help with.
Plugging in the right colored cable to the right motherboard spot that you want to plug into or whatever you're trying to match.
Actually, one of the problems that I found wasn't necessarily the cabling in terms of color. For example, the hard drive cables have their own plugs, their own actual sockets that they fly in.
Yes, they do.
The problems that I found I was having trouble with was identifying various sensors and LEDs on the front of the computer. For example, when I was sighted, the computers that we were dealing with were mainly horizontal suckers. And these puppies would just lay flat, and you could just pop off the case and work with them flat on the desk.
Right.
This particular kind, the towers were all fairly new to me. I just couldn't grasp the fact that the motherboard was laying on its side.
Right.
And standing up.
Yeah.
So when my brother first opened the case of the computer, I thought to myself, Well, Pete, how the hell are we going to put this thing together?
Yeah.
So at that point, he showed me that there is a little panel that actually pops off of the computer case, which you actually pull off, lay it down flat on the table, and you position some peg legs on the
panel.
The panel itself, and the panel, the motherboard sits on top of those legs. I guess is it a right. heat distribution thing for it?
Well, no, it's more for grounding purposes.
Right. And they are essentially just plastic legs. At that point, on the case itself, as I said, there are LEDs. A sighted person would see these LEDs as hard drive activity, power.
LEDs, power and, switch, power reset. Reset yeah.
And even a thermometer.
Yeah.
And they have several pins that all of these little
cables
players plug. Yeah,
could
and,
be. They could be put on.
That was the hardest part because
they could
there's
be
no
put on
identifying
different,
marks or, and all the cables actually feel the same.
They could be put on different pins. You mean they don't? They don't always go the same.
That's right. Yeah. And it all depends on the motherboard.
Is Dale here? Dale.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I always had a problem. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but your CD drive is either a CD drive or it's a slave, and you have to determine on the back of that CD drive. Do you still have to do that?
Yes. Yeah. You actually have to still do that. There are these little pins that determine master, slave, and cable select.
Yeah.
You'll always want it either on slave or master. But now, because the standard is a DVD burner.
Yeah.
The DVD burners must be always on a master for proper working conditions.
Yeah.
So any hard drives as attached to the same ribbon as a secondary drive, as a backup drive, will have to be as a slave.
Okay. I never could do that. I never could figure out those configurations on the back of the CD drive.
And the little pegs it plugs into are fairly small. So,
you mean the jumpers?
Yeah, the little jumper thing.
The problem is the pins are recessed inwards. They're
and
not
recessed,
outwards.
Yeah.
That's why you're not able to feel it. But to be honest, because I've been doing it for so long, I can feel, judging from the IDE cable, I know exactly how many pins over by using the jumper to feel as you would do it over help me out here, Victor. I would brush the jumper along the pins, and I can feel it hitting the
right.
Oh, I see. By counting the number
by
of
counting,
pins.
Yeah.
That would work.
Now, that's the way I've done it.
There's no reason that wouldn't work, but you'd have to, you know, I mean, are they always the same would be my question, because, you know, you'd have to know.
You mean the pins on the drives?
The pins on the CD drive.
All CD-ROMs are standard. It's all master to the right, slave in the middle, and cable select to the left.
Okay, now that I know that, that'll help.
I believe even the hard drives are like that.
Yeah. Some actually, no, different manufacturers are different now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there are only about three hard drive manufacturers, aren't they? I mean, there aren't too many people that make hard drives. Western Digital.
Everybody's buying everybody out.
Western Digital and
Seagate.
Seagate and who else?
Western Digital.
Yeah,
there's Maxtor.
Yeah.
No, Maxtor was bought out by Seagate. So
really?
Okay. Seagate owns Maxtor. Maxtor used to be Quantum, Maxtor, Seagate, Western Digital, but Maxtor purchased Quantum, which was a good thing because they inherited the quality assurance from Quantum. So because Maxtor used to have a 6-month failure rate, so they then Seagate took over Maxtor, which inherited the Maxtor's quality assurance. So now Seagate drives are now better. So now there's Seagate, Western Digital, and that's it. There's Fujitsu, Samsung. They're not the real mainstream, but they also have hard drives as well.
Well, and also what a lot of people don't know, there are hard drives that run at different speeds. All hard drives are not created equal.
That's right.
Very true. Yeah.
That's right. There's the 5400, the 7200, and then there's the SCSIs that run at 10,000 and 15,000 RPMs. So those numbers are all RPMs, revolutions per minute.
Well, you don't hear the word SCSI too much anymore.
Yeah. That's because that new technology is serial ATA, or in short, SATA or SATA, and that's the new technology that's taken over the SCSI and basically pushed them out of the way.
So, Peter, I have a question here. Because I'm just a lay person. You know, I was pretty good with computers as far as what I wanted to do. I go to Best Buy. I mean, is this a sales technique, or tell me what a dual processor is? I mean, what does it do for me?
The dual core processor. In the past, the CPUs, the central processing unit, the Pentium or the AMDs, they were sold with a single core, and the core is what does all the processing, all the number crunching.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So now they have a dual core where it has two number crunchers. So the computer can decide, okay, this program, that goes through that core. This program can go through that core, or it can use both cores to process the numbers much faster. So it does give a significant boost in speed.
I was wondering because, you know, every time Microsoft comes out with another program, my computer runs slower. And now since I got a dual processor, it's twice as slow. And so
I remember.
That's not technology, Don. That's a law of averages.
I remember when Windows 98 came out, somebody said, well, it's as pretty as it is, it doesn't matter that it's slower than 95.
Yeah. Well, if you're running Vista, which I recommend not doing for at least another year, maybe two, wait until they get their service pack 1, 2, 3, 5, 12, I don't know. Yeah. But if you're running Vista, you need to make sure you have at least 1 gigabyte of RAM.
Okay.
Yeah. At least. That. Yeah, at a bare minimum.
At least. Yeah.
You know, it's the
old, stuck with XP.
The old thing of be careful what you wish for. I got mad at Hewlett Packard for some reason. Maybe it's because I stayed on the phone with somebody for 3 hours that I couldn't understand from India. Maybe that was it. But anyway, so I bought a new gateway, and it has been the worst. It's the dual processor, and it sucks. I mean, that's all I can tell you. I'm still running XP.
One of the things that you asked before, Don, that, you know, I wanted to take up, and now that you bring it up, it makes me think even more that, you know, the benefit to buying from a smaller outfit as opposed to buying from the larger outfit is accountability. When you buy from a larger outfit like Dell or Gateway, IBM, you know, when you know what, when you call them, guess what? You're calling India or the Philippines or
exactly.
Yeah. Or you know, somewhere like that. With us, I mean, you get we help you. We don't, you know, we don't ship you off to India or the Philippines or anywhere else.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. The same goes, I mean, granted, in a lot of instances, we can get most of the same things that the bigger outfits get you at the same price or just a slightly higher price. But you're also getting the better quality of service in the long run.
Also, the biggest thing is the proprietary equipment that they sell versus our general universal equipment. You go to HP, you buy their equipment. Nine times out of ten, you're not going to be able to. If you get a power surge and your power supply gets fried, there's a possibility that you may not be able to get a general power supply. You may have to purchase one from them for $150.
Been there, whereas done that.
Our computers are completely unproprietary, non-proprietary. You can if you don't like our service, you can take your computer and take it to somebody else, and they'll be able to work with it with no problems.
You guys are building computers from scratch.
My brother was still working at the computer store, and him and his employer were trying to fit a I can't remember if it was a hard drive or a CD-ROM drive into an HP computer. And
that was a whole motherboard. It was a whole motherboard inside a compact case. And the plugs for the switches were all attached, so we couldn't pull them apart or plug them in properly into the new motherboard. So we had to run cables and wires and LED lights out the back of the computer. So
that's right.
And also Victor has an IBM that we had to modify a network card in order to fit properly into the case because it's a low profile case.
So and they had to actually take a Dremel tool to it.
Wow.
Cut off half of the actual metal clamp, bend it over, and drill a hole through it so it would accept the screw. I mean, talk about blind handyman.
That's
there.
Wild.
That's crazy. Man, no, but you know, I think that's good. I didn't know, I guess, the concept. That, I mean, I wasn't thinking that y'all were building these from scratch.
I
but
didn't
absolutely. You know, if I actually, Phil's wife does this pretty regular. She deals with a local person and has had several computers built for her. I mean, I assume they buy a generic box and
that's
do it.
It,
and then they service it, and it's a heck of a lot easier to deal with the guy here that you're looking at instead of somebody, you know, a long ways away.
Yeah,
and reason that we actually got into this was because of that. I mean, to my knowledge, and I think this is true until now, none of our competitors who deal in assistive technology actually build computers from the ground up. They actually order from third parties like IBM, Dell, HP. They actually order from them, and then once the computers get to the vendor, they install the assistive technology like JAWS or Zoom Text or the Braille display or whatever. And until now, I haven't heard any different from anyone. We are the only ones that actually build a computer from the bottom up.
And you guys will install, I guess, whatever assistive technology one needs if you're selling, of course, to a person that needs the assistive technology, I guess.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. And we also provide the tech support in case there's a problem with the computer or the assistive technology.
That's great. That's outstanding.
With our competitors, yes, you can call them for tech support, but if there's a major issue with the computer, you have to call the manufacturer guess what? In most cases, hasn't heard of the assistive technology.
Right.
I mean, try talking to an IBM rep about JAWS, and it's like talking about
don't have a clue.
Cockroaches.
Yeah, well, they don't have a clue.
I was thinking, you take JAWS into the geek squad at Best Buy, and they're going to, well, why the hell did you put it on there for?
Well, see, and what we do is the most important thing to our clientele and our business is our personability. We go out to the clients' houses. We speak to them. We see what they want, what they're going to be using the computer for, what they're going to be doing in the future, and then we cater a computer to their needs.
That's definitely a large, huge huge plus.
Really?
Yeah. Boy, big time.
And with personalities like yours, I can see how you've done well. Yeah. Only kidding. It's a joke.
Hey, Victor. Hey, Victor.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
How blind friendly are your computers as far as, like, since you guys build from the ground up, like, do you put a really quiet, you know, nice quiet blind friendly fan in your computers? Are they sound like?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yeah. We actually have been using a particular case with, believe it or not, two fans.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I'm going to let Peter talk about this one.
This would be important.
Sorry, go on.
No, I just say this would be important, especially for a blind or partially sighted person, you know, to have a nice quiet fan. And, you know, if you were building from the ground up.
Since you're, sorry. Well, since your hearing is a little more attentive, since the visually impaired people, their hearing is more attentive because they have to rely on it so much that yes, it is important that we use a quiet case. So we've tested a couple and a few.
Yeah.
And we found that this one is the most quietest. The fans are a lot more quieter, and we got this computer that has two fans, one in the power supply and one in the door. And what the one in the door does, it sucks out any heat being exchanged from the heat sink of the CPU.
Yeah.
And it sucks all that heat out so that it doesn't heat up the motherboard,
right,
the hard drives, or the CD-ROM. Because the hard drives do produce quite a bit of heat. I'd say you can probably maybe cook an egg on it if you leave it sitting on it for a couple of minutes. But the CPU is a major heat contributor, and that fan on the door helps so much more when you're able to suck that hot air out of there.
When I on my gateway computer, when I do something in the CD-ROM, it sounds like a jet airplane.
Really?
I mean, honest to God, it's the noisiest CD-ROM.
That's
important
when you're sitting there by it all day.
Yeah.
You know, have a quiet fan.
Sometimes
no,
I think that...
I understand that. It's hard to find a quiet CD-ROM because it's so fast and it spins so quickly. The one thing you can always make sure is if you're putting labels on your CDs, or if you're sticking little tabs on them so that you know what they are, make sure you do it at a very evenly distributed place, because as soon as you put any excess weight on it, it'll throw that CD-ROM off of balance.
That's right, out of balance. Yep.
Yeah, it'll start rattling all like crazy. But what me and Victor do is we actually put four screws onto the CD-ROM, two on each side. One on the left side, the front would be at the top and the back would be at the bottom. And on the right side, the front would be at the bottom and the back would be at the top. That way it keeps it nice and balanced, and we tighten it so that if it rattles, it's not the CD-ROM that'll be rattling. It'll actually be the CD disc, because it's so tightly connected onto the, or sealed onto the case, that there's no room for any play, there's no room for any rattling or any vibrations.
My wife has just ordered a brand new Mac computer. It was about $3,000, and it has a 60 gig flash memory drive instead of a hard drive.
Wow.
How far are we, I wonder, from having no moving parts in hard drives?
That's actually a very fascinating technology that Mac is starting to play with. And I got to admit, Mac is a great computer, but unfortunately, there is no assistive technology for it.
Except its own Leopard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except
exactly.
Its own built-in screen reader.
Right.
But yeah. you've worked with that and you don't like it, or what? What is your...
We played with it briefly. But I think it was the sound of the voice, or it wasn't reading. It didn't read very many programs.
Uh-huh.
Plus, the programs that it used, it didn't have. Like, I know JAWS, you have to download scripts for certain programs that it doesn't normally have.
Uh-huh.
But for Leopard, you can't just download scripts. You have it or you don't. That's it.
Well, fortunately,
the other thing too, we didn't do a complete test of the Mac system with the. with the screen reader it contained. I mean, we can't really speak to it. Our mainstay has always been PCs. And that's, you know, that's not exactly something we chose. It's something we actually prefer to work with. And on top of that, also because of the price.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the price comparison between a PC and a Mac.
Right.
And it's especially the proprietary factor in there. You know, it starts to get...
You're right.
Inconsistent.
Well, this Mac is not for me. It's for her. It's not mine.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Isn't it a laptop, too?
It is a laptop, and it has a 60 gig, but it has some other things. It also does not have an optic drive. It does not have a CD-ROM in it.
Really?
Period.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, this new computer has no CD-ROM, period. But it has a little thing that will communicate that communicates through Bluetooth with. If you have a computer that has a CD-ROM and a USB port, you can plug this thing in and you can dub a CD from that computer to her computer.
But it is not. I see what you're saying.
It's light.
How big is it?
It's light, very thin and very light. You can almost put it in your purse.
Oh, that's the yes. Okay, I know that.
The
I know
laptop,
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I could have sworn there was an optical drive on that.
There's not. There's no optical drive. That's the deal. That's what makes it. That's why they can make it so much smaller. It has no optical drive.
Yes.
But you know,
will it? Do you know whether it'll interface with a PC or not, Phil?
I know that it will interface with a PC if you use this little Bluetooth thing.
Yeah.
It's a little Bluetooth thing that they give you that interfaces with a PC.
But, you know, you guys were talking about price, and I think, you know, Phil mentioned the figure $3,000, and then Peter was talking how he got started with early Commodores and then the Tandy. Way back when the Tandys came out, I know a fellow who paid $3,000, and I bought a $19 calculator later on that would do more than that computer. You know, I mean, isn't it amazing how prices can... Yeah. I mean, they thought they were affluent and had a lot of money. I mean, $3,000 for this radio jobber that wouldn't add two and two.
I think most scientific calculators will do what a Tandy did way back then.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know. You know, my wife's got we have a $2,400 386 somewhere.
Yeah.
Ham radio guys, many of them that we've talked to, I mean, I'm not active anymore, but... We're all Commodore 64.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Computers
Boy,
and ham radio.
You know.
Yep.
Well, I mean, at the same time, guys, let's face facts. How many viruses did you get on that 286?
Yeah, well, that's a thought.
That's true, and you didn't have to buy virus protection. You have to do anything.
Because you couldn't communicate with anyone.
Well, I bought her a modem in 93, and we were on what was called then the Genie Network. We were able to buy music, and we thought, this is the coolest thing. In the world, because we could buy CDs online, you know.
How long ago was that?
1993.
Okay.
1993.
We've come a long way.
I bought her a modem for her birthday. Took the computer. I took it to a guy and had him put a modem in it. It was an Apple IIe.
You know, one of the things that I was just mentioning to my brother before we came online was, I mean, I've always remembered as kids growing up, we were always one step behind, mostly because we got hand-me-downs, which we, you know, eventually later took apart and trashed, mostly for the learning value. But, you know, we were always one step behind, and we envied everyone else. Well, suddenly, hey, you know, we're one step ahead for a change.
You're right.
And we're actually glad of that.
We were poor. In fact, the first piece of light bread I ever saw was towed off the back of a CCC truck.
We were really poor. Sega Master System when the Super Nintendo system came out. Yeah. So that was like 3 years after its first release.
Yeah. Have you seen this new thing called the Wii?
Yes.
My wife is planning to get one,
Well, Don
and
Patterson.
She's not planning to get it for entertainment value. She actually wants to work out in the home.
Right.
If that means anything.
I saw my first one last Sunday night here at Phil's. There again, his wife has one for her, the grandchildren, and for herself, actually. And I'd never seen it. And they put on the bowling, and that was rather subdued. And they did tennis. And then they put on the boxing. And I'm telling you, I got a 15-minute workout that would, you know. And now I see where Nintendo, in the spring, May or June, is going to release an exercise program for the Wii. So
now, Pat, were you able to see that with your visual acuity?
I could do the boxing confused me because it was the split screen.
You didn't quite understand.
And then you're using the see-through. I didn't have the concept. I'm a pretty good partial if I know what's going on up front. Bowling, I could see because you can punch the X thing and make the like you can line up that red line and you can enlarge the screen, and then she was showing this on a fairly good sized TV screen.
Well, and then with the bowling also, you determine when the ball is when you start walking up and when you throw. So I think I could do it. I think, and I'm totally blind.
Yeah, we were trying to get the tennis was a little, you know, I hit a couple of balls, and I'm sure it was luck because there again I wasn't sure exactly where I was supposed to swing. I mean, but the boxing, I need to work on that. I was thrashed.
It just makes me wonder how far away virtual reality is.
Yeah, but
it's getting closer.
I was thrashed by an 11-year-old girl in the boxing match. That wasn't good.
I love it.
Virtual reality, you know, somebody has taken the Wii one step forward. I think somebody from Taiwan or Korea or somebody is now doing something with a headset, which, of course, would let us out completely where they're doing eye movements to accomplish the same thing that you're doing now with the wands.
I know they're working on that.
The batons.
And that would come in handy for quadriplegics.
Yeah.
It would be wonderful.
It wouldn't help me much.
The
whole purpose of the Wii was to get kids off their butts.
And it worked. It should work.
Well, works because I got a workout. I mean, I may, if nothing else, invest. You know, you can buy a Wii for about the same price that you can buy a real inexpensive treadmill that probably wouldn't last, and I think you'd get more enjoyment out of the Wii.
Probably.
There you go.
Yeah.
Assuming you can actually see, right?
Wii's, with all the remotes and everything, are $350 to $400 if you buy two or three remotes to go with it, and you have to have them. You know, you buy the Wii, it comes with no remotes.
Well, they did a lot of market research on the Wii, and they found that a lot of parents don't like buying video game systems because their kids sit down and do nothing, play these video games, and drink their pop and everything.
Another thing about the Wii, from my experience, I mean, you're saying, you know, did I see well enough? You know, I see okay, but also I did better in the games that I could do in the real world. Like, I have bowled. I have never played tennis. I know how.
Yes, I've actually heard you say that you're a master bowler on the show.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, but by the same token, Don Shaw has more vision than I do, but not a lot more than I do. And he was bowling.
Yeah, but I think most visually impaired partials have more vision than you, don't they, Phil?
Well, anybody does. If you got any, you got more than I do. But Don Shaw, you could see the thing, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
on the bowling.
And
there
again, I think it helped that I bowl in the real world, and Don has too, where I've never really played tennis, or I've certainly never boxed. You know,
my next question.
I've gotten the
welterweight Don Patterson.
I had the concept, but I didn't. The screen layout was a little different. So,
yeah, I could just imagine that fight. In one corner, Don Patterson, and in the other, Don Shaw. Yeah.
The blind handyman.
The blind and the blind. Boxing
match between one man's family and Pepper Young's family. That at one time, 100 years ago.
Did these guys call down here from Canada? Are they troublemakers?
I think they are.
Hell raisers.
Are they starting some kind of
Have you noticed
between?
On the list, you can't even start a fight anymore on the list? I sent this nasty post about you
up... You know, what's the world coming to when you can't even start a fight on the list?
This nasty post about you bringing up God in some of your posts, and no bloody bit. I thought Donnie Parrott would, well, just quit your list, buddy. I don't want to be anything like that.
Donnie loves everybody.
I love Donnie. He's a wonderful boy. I love him. I'm glad he's there. I'm glad it didn't make him mad. But you can't even start a fight on the list anymore.
Hell of a thing, isn't it?
Of course, I think Carla was out of town, or that wouldn't be true, would it?
That depends. Were you trying to start a fight with Carla?
Well, yes. Of course I was. I've done two or three times trying to start. So you can't, you know, that's, if I run out of something to do, I just go start a fight on the list.
Yeah, yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, but he's really afraid that David Farron will kick him off
the list. Well, there's that.
I don't think David would do that to Phil.
Let's don't get into that. We need to tell about that. Victor and I are both on the Blind Like Me list, and it is a great list. It has no topic. We talk about everything. We talk about nothing. As far as I'm concerned, the first thing I do every morning is go read the Blind Like Me list.
Well, ritual, right. Huh? That's right.
So you can't even start an argument here.
All right.
Well, I first thing I read is a Blind Like Me list, but the fact is I can't. I got to read my Blind Movie Bus list because I'm a moderator.
Let's get back to your computer business. You folks build computers for folks anywhere within, 100 miles of your area, of your radius of where you live or what?
You know what? I don't see any reason why we couldn't ship them anywhere. But at the same time, we are licensed as registered vendors with what's known as the Assistive Devices Program, which is a program depending on the assistive device that you're purchasing and whether you qualify under Ministry of Health standards, will actually pay anywhere between 75 and 100% of your assistive device, depending on the device and whether you qualify again.
Right.
If you happen to be on provincial ODSP, which is Ontario Disability Support Program, the 100% is fairly guaranteed if you are eligible for it. Now, the reason I say eligible is that, you know, obviously there are certain criteria that you have to meet.
Well, but they can discuss that with their caseworker. What we need?
Do you have an email or number?
What we need from you is emails and phone numbers right now.
Contact info.
Down on time, guys. You hear that theme, can't you?
I can hear that theme now.
The crowd are now wandering out of the audience and starting their cars. You can see that.
Kids
are, you might want to give them the contact info.
Kids are crumbling their Nabisco crackers up on their chairs, and it's just it's about here. We're about gone. You might go ahead.
Well, do I give it now?
Go ahead. We'll shut up.
Phone number is 416-835-4198.
Okay.
And the email address
is VIP Tech, like virtually independent products and technologies.
Okay.
VIP Tech at Rogers.com.
VIP Tech at Rogers.com. Is that correct?
And I'm going to spell that, and that's VIPTECH at Rogers.com.
RODGERS.com.
At the moment, we are currently in the midst of working on our website. Yes, it has been 2 years, and yes, we are still working on that website.
And that website would be what?
As soon as we get it, we'll call us and let us know.
And we'll post it for you.
You boys have a beer on us and hope for the best. And Peter, nice to have met you. And Victor, always glad to see you, sir. And we'll see you on the list.
It's a pleasure.
Great to talk to you guys.
Good talking with you guys.
All right. That'll take care of Victor and Peter up in Canada and their computer business. Good guest, though, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll go. Thanks, Don Shaw. Thanks, Don. And we'll do it again next week. The Blind Andy Minn, Phil Park. And as he said, the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.